Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you for tuning in once again to Connecting Faith. I always appreciate the opportunity to have conversation with you and have you join in. And Ted, today we've got a house full.
A full house. I put on my good shirt today.
And we're all appreciative of that. But we're going to spend some time talking about a wonderful opportunity, ministry opportunity. You know, Jesus said one of his final words before he ascended was to go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And we are going to find out today about opportunities to make disciples, to make connections, to develop relationships with the nations which are in our neighborhoods, which is amazing, because we're going to talk today about international students, particularly about the ministry to international students. We've done this a program like this, I think, probably every year for, the past four or five years?
Several years. Oh, it's a good reminder at the holiday time here, approaching fast, too, where you could reach out, bring a meal, forge a relationship that God can use to work and maybe bring people into his fold.
Yeah. So what we're going to find out about today, let me introduce our guests. We have guests in studio today. Kathleen McCosco has been our return guest here for a number of years. She's retired now as a pastor at Stadium Village Church, but still lives across from the University of Minnesota campus. That in a duplex that rents, seven or eight international students living there, right? So you've got, you're still in it. And Kathleen and her husband, who's a professor of chemical engineering at the university, have four children, 12 grandchildren. They lived in six countries, and she has a big heart for the international. We're going to introduce Soon Lee Tay. Is it Soon Lee Tay? Is that the?
Yes, Soon Lee Tay.
Soon Lee Tay is a graduate student at the University of Minnesota. He was born and raised in Malaysia, and it was in his undergraduate years at the University of Madison that he was exposed to Christianity. And thanks to a campus church, a Harvest Church in Madison, a shout-out to our friends listening in Madison, had the opportunity to come to faith in Christ. He's got a great story. We'll hear about that. He's one of those examples of how an international student was impacted with the gospel. Janae Wells is formerly with the Hospitality Center for Chinese, but she's now administrative assistant for OASIS. It's a newly formed consortium for those who minister to international students. It stands for the Organization Allied to Serve International Students. And she spent a number of months when she was 17, traveling around Europe, people-to-people cultural exchange, got a heart for internationals, took the world, the perspectives in the world missions movement sometime later, and so has served in international student ministry for a number of years. And Dayana Start, Dayana and her husband lived in the Twin Cities for 20 plus years. Andy, her husband, wasn't a Christian when they got married, but became a Christian when they took an Alpha course together. And through their church, they connected with the Hospitality Center for Chinese, began hosting students about 10 years ago or so, and they've hosted lots of students. In fact, Dayana has lots of stories, so if I don't stop talking, she's not going to get to tell any of her stories. But anyway, we're just honored to have all you folks here. Thank you again. And Kathleen, maybe just a word of thanks for you, especially for putting this team together, which you've done over the past couple of years, because as we mentioned, this is a passion for you and the others. I think, as we mentioned, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples. This really is one of the key ways we can do that, isn't it? So
it is. And for some of us who are more lazy than others or can't go, all you have to do is go from your kitchen to your dining room, and then you can obey Jesus as long as you've got an international student there at your table.
And maybe we should just start there. And that really is probably priority number one. It's hospitality, isn't it? It's the shared meals, the shared life together. Dayana, start maybe just share a bit about how that started for you. You've hosted many students and done just that, right?
Yes. We've hosted 47 students over the last 8 years in our home, and not counting friends and and other family members who come to stay with us. But one of our favorite things to do is Thanksgiving at our home. And we typically have, you know, 25 to 30 Chinese people at our house for Thanksgiving. But my favorite part is that we sit around the living room after dinner, and I tell everybody that I'm going to ask them what they're thankful for this year. And it is one of the most amazing things to behold, because the first year, the students are always thankful for their parents and for their opportunities to be studying abroad. But after a couple of years, as you see the students mature and experience American culture, their thankfulness changes to an attitude of thankfulness for being in a place where they can experience the love of people and the Christian love that is shared with them. And many of them have come to Christ just through the experience of being hosted through families and being connected with churches and being able to experience the love of Jesus Christ through hospitality.
Holidays, one of the reasons we want to do this program today is that, you know, obviously Thanksgiving, Christmas coming up. Are holidays a good time to become engaged and connected with an international student?
This is a perfect time to get involved with Thanksgiving hosting, and we are setting that up. So what was your...
Well, if is this a good time? I mean, just to get started, if I've never gotten involved in international students.
So. Absolutely.
And it, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that doesn't have a lot of gift giving. You know, it's sort of a pure holiday and has to do with America. And, of course, they're interested in everything American. And they want to know what it's like to live in an American family. And, Neil, I've traveled to a lot of countries. We were in Saudi Arabia this year, and it's... We have no idea in America the benefits that we have until you go to a place that doesn't. And it gives us an opportunity to thank God for this opportunity. And many students come from highly censored countries. And for them to see the openness that we have is a real eye-opener for them.
Sun Lee, maybe we can hear a bit about your story. You came from a from Malaysia, which is an Islamic country. Were you given the opportunity to connect with a host family or through your church? Or well, I mean, obviously it was the church that reached out to you. But talk a little bit about how you got introduced to the even the idea of Christianity.
Yeah, so I grew up in Malaysia, and basically for almost the entirety of my education was just learning about Islam. And I grew up in a Buddhist family, but it wasn't until when I came to University of Wisconsin-Madison that I was exposed to Christianity. And at the time, for me, the concept was just offensive. The gospel and the concept of grace was just offensive. So I was there to basically demystify what Christianity was all about. And for me, that step slowly became from demystification to detachment from my foreign belief of Buddhism, and really coming to know the grace of God. But I think the most important step and pivotal time was definitely the connections that people was just willing to pour out times on me, and just willingness to invite me, and just the selfless expression of love that I've never felt in my entire life. And having mingled with so many friends in Malaysia, I never felt the magnitude of love that I could describe at the time that I was invited, that I was constantly meeting up with people at Madison. In fact, I will go slightly deeper and just say that at the time when I was dating my wife, she had a major surgery that was life-threatening to her, and it was a decision that we have to make in just within the next few hours to have the operation done on her. But it was the recovery period that was the first moment that I felt the love of God. I was doing an internship in Janesville, Wisconsin at the time, and I wasn't able to take care of her responsibility as a boyfriend. But there would be people knocking on her apartment door, not every day, but every single meal of the day.
Oh.
And just bringing food and then bringing home-cooked food and for her for the next 2 weeks for her recovery. And that was the first moment I felt, wow, where is this love? I've never felt it before. And even as not the direct recipient of the love, I felt the magnitude was just so immense. And so I came from trying to be the professional skeptic and to demystify and debunk Christianity to having the capacity to feel the love. And that was the stepping stone for me to approach church and really went hand in hand to try to understand what Christianity was about.
You know, I really believe that the kindness of God leads to repentance. That's scripture, and it happened in my life, and Soon just shared how it happened in his life. I experienced love when I was on campus at the University of Idaho in Moscow, Idaho, and that's where I found Jesus. I had grown up knowing about God and going to a church every Sunday, but not experiencing that I could know him personally. And so that's why campus ministry is so important to me and my family. And I really want to appreciate my husband on the air today for all of his support financially and emotionally so I could be involved in international student ministry through these years. But these students on campus, they want to make real relationships with authentic people, and then they respond. But it's estimated that only 12% of the international students are met by a campus minister to develop a relationship to even talk about God.
So a huge opportunity, really, isn't it? I mean, because the universities, the colleges are full of international students, aren't they?
We have one of the largest contingents of Chinese students in the country here at the University of Minnesota. There are 3,400, I believe, that are mm-hmm. here. And it's so important for them to be exposed to an American Christian family. And so I highly recommend that people invite and take the opportunity to invite these international students into their home for Thanksgiving, because it's just a wonderful experience. And if you have children, it's a wonderful experience for them, too. And I happen to have a special needs child. Andrew is Down syndrome. And that's not something that a lot of these kids are ever exposed to. But Andrew is an absolute witness for God just by his very existence. And they fall in love with him so fast. And yet they've never been exposed to him, to anyone like him. And it's just amazing to watch and to see what happens. And I also want to just kind of say to people, too, if you're ever thinking about doing this, hospitality isn't about having, entertaining necessarily, but it's about creating a relationship. And it's not about how clean your house is. Don't worry about it. They don't care. They just want a relationship, and they want your heart. And when they experience that, it makes such a huge impact for them that you can't even imagine. And I have I've been blessed so many times by these kids who come back later and say, well, you changed my mind about abortion, or you changed the trajectory of my life. And I didn't do anything but just share God's love with them. That's all. And I didn't preach to them. I didn't evangelize. I just shared our home and our love.
You know, in many cultures, people with Down syndrome or problems that look different or act different, they get sequestered in their home. They can't go out. And so for international students to see how we treat people that are different from us is mind-blowing to them.
In a moment, we're going to talk more about how do we get started. Maybe just a few do's and don'ts, maybe less don'ts. Mostly just emphasize do, I think, right? We'll talk about that today. We're talking international student ministries with Kathleen Macasco, Soon Lee Tay, Diana Start, and Janae Wells. They're serving in various ministries. We'll tell you about them as we go along. Let me just give you a website first, though, before we take a break. OasisTC.org. We'll explain more about what that ministry is, but it's a place to start. If you can't stick with us for the rest of the show, check things out, OasisTC.org, and we'll continue in a moment.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
God has brought the world to our doorstep, and we have the opportunity to make real relationships. That was a phrase that was used here just a moment ago, authentic, real relationships with international students. We're talking about International Student Ministries today, and there are thousands of international students in our midst. Now, someone just, Janae just gave me a list of institutions, for example, University of Minnesota, some 7,000 there, Minnesota State University of Mankato, 1,200 there, St. Cloud State University, 1,200, 600 University of St. Thomas, Minnesota State University, Moorhead, 470, China, India, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Nepal, all those represented just as a reminder that the world has come to our doorstep, and you can be a missionary without learning a language and spending millions. I think that's the bottom line. Kathleen McCosco's former pastor at Stadium Village Church near the University of Minnesota. She lives still in a unit that rents to international students, and so she's surrounded by internationals all the time. Soon Lee Tay has been telling us a bit of his story. He's a graduate student at the University of Minnesota and had come to faith because of an outreach of a local church when he was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Diana Start and her husband connected with the Hospitality Center for Chinese, began hosting students about 8-9 years ago and have held many gatherings in their homes. And Janaea Wells, formerly with the Hospitality Center for Chinese, and is now with the organization Allied for Serve International, organizations Allied to Serve International Students, OASIS. I guess if I just say OASIS, that would be easier. And that's a partnership, right? You're a partnership liaison.
Partnership
all right,
liaison.
I want to give you official
and
title
we're
there.
We're excited to be here.
We just mentioned a little bit about the number of students. Are these tend to be grad students or undergrads, or I mean, and does that really matter?
It doesn't matter to God who sent them here, but that particular statistic you just shared was undergraduate students. And if you talk about all scholars and students and their families, we're talking about 10,000 just at the University of Minnesota alone.
Yeah.
But in 2013, since 2013, a group of interested individuals have been meeting together and praying together and talking about how can we do more, because like I said, only 12% of the international students even have a chance to talk to someone about a relationship with God. And so we want to do more and do better. And we've, over the years, we've launched this year as OASIS, Organizations Allied to Serve International Students. And we've got 20 members and counting of individuals and organizations who are working together to collaborate.
And say more about the importance of working together. So, Kathleen, you said if you can go from your kitchen to your dining room, you can be a missionary to internationals. But is it important that we do this as a team or a group, or as just a committed individual can have an impact as well?
Well, Diana has done that with her family, but it is good to coordinate. You can learn best practices. You can sometimes... One student has a real big problem, as we heard from Soon Lee, and it takes more than just one group to help them. And by talking to each other, we can coordinate efforts. 1 year, we all of a sudden started to notice that there were undergraduate international students coming. It used to be just graduate students because they can get funding through their professors or various grants from companies, that kind of thing. But these undergraduates were coming, and they were coming from China, that used to be a very poor nation, and it's quite poor still today, but there is a lot of wealthy Chinese people. And our pastor, Lowell Busman, had a man stay with him, and he came with $30,000 to buy a new car. So it's quite different than some of our American students. What we're seeing now, the economic situation has changed in China, and they want their students to have an American education. And now these are going to be people who will probably go into business, although some will be in government. And there's heads of states in key positions in their countries over the last 50 years who have made a difference in international relationships because they have experienced another culture, and they've sometimes, you know, we've got a problem between two countries, but guess what? One of them studied in the other person's country. They can speak their language. They know their culture. It's just the way God is working now in the world.
And these, as we say, these are future influencers in a variety of fields, right? Soon Lee, talk a little bit about your well, we've only got a couple minutes left, so maybe we'll hang on to that till after the break. Maybe I'll go with Deanna. Just any maybe do's and don'ts or things that you did when you started out that you know, you should have done differently? Or?
You know, I think you just go from your heart. Hmm. And I think, you know, for us, we have a large home, and so we host several students at a time. But I think it doesn't matter if you have a home, whether you have an apartment, or even if you just have one person in your home. If you can create a relationship with a student and continue that relationship with them, you are a blessing to them. And honestly, I always say I get far more blessings from God for doing this than they get by coming to my home. And I just think you have to open your heart and open your home, make them feel comfortable, treat them as if they were your own children. And that's it.
So does that mean doing the laundry for them every weekend?
No.
All right, just checking.
But I have done that.
Okay.
But, you know, you do all kinds of things for people that you love, and you come to love these kids.
Yeah. I have a story from a woman who lives with us. Before she came to America, her friend, who was Chinese and had lived in America, said, you know, when you go to America, you're going to have to cook your own food and wash your own clothes. And she was shocked. She had never done that before because they have people from the countryside come in and be their workers in their house. And America is a real do-it-yourself country, and not all countries are like that. So they need to learn some of the ins and outs of living alone.
We're going to talk more about international student ministries. We've got a full room of guests, grateful for each one and their ministry, their focus, their passion. Kathleen McCoskos, former pastor of Stadium Village Church in Minneapolis. Soon Lee Tay is a grad student at the University of Minnesota and is born and raised in Malaysia. We'll hear a bit more about his story. Came to faith at his time in the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Diana Start serves with the Hospitality Center for Chinese. Janae Wells is a partnership liaison for a new organization called OASIS, Organization Allied to Serve International Students. We're giving out that website just so you have a place to connect as a starting point, oasistc.org, oasistc.org. We'll talk more with all our friends in a moment.
By your light, I want to reflect the sun, cut like precious diamonds, with colors by the millions. This is the only world we know, and for now this rental's our home. If we gon' be a reflection, gotta make this dirt rock glow. Just so you know.
Light shines bright. Talking about letting our light shine, being the hands and feet of Jesus, showing love and compassion to those that have come in our neighborhoods, in our communities, at our colleges and universities, in our neighborhoods. We're talking about international student ministries today, you know, the international students among future leaders of the world, and it really is a wonderful chance for us to reach out in the name of Jesus, and they come expecting to learn about America and Christianity. So we've got some open-door opportunities. Kathleen McCoskos with us, Diana Start, Janae Wells. Janae is with the new just-established organization, Allied to Serve International Students, OASIS, and the website's oasistc.org. giving that out here as we go along. But Soon Lee Tay, a graduate student at the University of Minnesota, soon to graduate now, which congratulations, by the way, and praying for your future direction. But we were just talking a little bit about, you know, the connections that were made as Diana was sharing. I mean, that was important for you, but it's also resulted in what your family members, a couple of your sisters, right, getting connected?
Yeah, so 7 years ago, I accepted Christ, and then I received a severe persecution from my dad. But fast forward to 4 years ago, I started sharing Christ with my sister, my second sister. And then, you know, my second sister, it was maybe about a year later that she accepted Christ, but she was struggling with the fact that her husband was still not a believer. And so we started praying and started just sharing the gospel with my brother-in-law. And, you know, this whole transformation really happened because he came from an atheistic background. And so for him, this is all just fairy tales and just marketing and sales. And so for him, at the time, he was just feeling like, no, this is everything is just, you're just trying to sell a myth to me. But it was at the time that there was a transformation that happens where we started really caring about him, about his salvation. But it was not until a connection that began from a church in Malaysia called Every Nation Church. So shout out to Every Nation Church in Malaysia, that they started sending a couple who can just connect with my sister and my brother-in-law. So they would meet up. So they would meet up every single week and just have dinner or have a meal together and just talk about faith, talk about life. And sometimes when the direction wasn't so much about talking about faith, they were just talking about life. And just through the times of just hospitality and connections with them and just praying, sincerely caring for their salvation. A few months ago, I received a text from my sister that my brother-in-law Jimmy accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. I just saw that, you know, just looking back, you know, I remember last year, during Christmas time, I sent a card to my brother-in-law and said that, Jimmy, I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I want you to know that I really love you and care for you, and I do hope that this is the last Christmas card that I send to you, that you are not a believer yet. Mm. And I pray that the next time I send it to you, you will be a believer. And by the grace of God, by the connections of people, by the hospitalities of brothers and sisters, I am proud to say that Jimmy is now a believer.
Yeah. It'll be a good Christmas, this Christmas, for him and for you, for your family. It reminds me, and maybe, Diana, you can talk about this a little bit. Is it a matter of just simply, you know, providing meals, showing love, just living life as you normally would? Or do you want to be strategic about sharing the gospel in some ways, the scriptures?
Well, the way we do it is just we live our life and share how we live with them. We pray at meals with them. We invite them to pray with us. And most of the time they do. We invite them to church, and most of the time they come because they're curious. We invite them to events, and we have even sponsored and done like an alpha program for Chinese. And we've had a lot of kids have come to that to learn about Christianity. And really, all you have to do is live out your faith with them. They're smart. They figure this out. And you offer help when they need it, just as you would any other Christian brother or sister. I invite them to Bible study, because at one of the local churches, Wayzata Evangelical Free Church has a special Bible study just for Chinese on Sunday mornings, and so we invite them to that. We pray for them. We pray with them. And I one of my very favorite stories is one of my girls called me one evening, and you know, we've done nothing special. We just lived, and she sees, and as they all do. But she called me one night, and she said, "Day, would you show me how to pray?" And I just was so blown away because I had no idea that what we had shared with her made an impact, and she got it. And I said, "Well, you know, I spent about 45 minutes on the phone explaining to her about prayer and how it worked, and then we prayed on the phone." And she wanted to, she had asked me to pray for a an internship for her at Target. And God used that moment because she got that internship at Target. And from that point, her mother came, and her mother now feels like she's a Christian as she has returned, even though she doesn't speak English. Mm. But just be yourself.
And if you're out there listening to this and going, that kind of sounds interesting, I wonder how I would do that. Mm. I mean, I'd like to picture yourself, what kind of role could I play, having not done this before? Who would I contact to meet these students? Well, you can make a difference by just getting on our website and oasistc.org and tell us you might want to try an airport pickup, or tell us that you have furniture to share, or tell us that you're interested in children's ministry, perhaps. Also, professional mentoring, if you're a dentist and or a nutritionist and you would like to professionally mentor one of these people in these many professions that are here, they'd be interested in that. There's spiritual mentoring. There's holiday and one-week hosting that we've talked about. There's conversation circles. There's so many different ways to get involved, and we're here to just help you get started.
Very non-threatening way is the conversation circles that Janae just mentioned. This happens once a month at Stadium Village Church, right across from the U of M. And you just sit at a table with one other person and a cup of coffee or tea, and you talk. And this gives them an opportunity to practice their English one-on-one. You can correct them. That's what they want. But you can ask them questions about their life, and they might ask questions about your life. And it's everyone, we have to shove them out the door at the end because they don't want to leave. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention also, if you are interested in finding out more, Hospitality Center for Chinese has an open house this weekend on Sunday from 1 to 3:30, and over on Cleveland Avenue across from the St. Paul campus. And you can go to hcchinese.org if you want to find out more about that.
hcchinese.org. Those in the Twin Cities want to jump in and get started, a good place to connect, hcchinese.org, an open house this weekend, a great opportunity. Is this something that typically happens on a weekly basis, or is it the once a month kind of, you know, conversation circle, or is it just Thanksgiving and, you know, Christmas? And
I'm glad you asked that question, Neil. That is a wonderful question. I've got a list in front of me of 15 organizations that are doing international student ministry on campus that have joined with OASIS, and there's more that we are inviting to join, and there's many more churches that we're hoping to join. But these activities, if we would put them all on the calendar, there's probably 600 a year. Mm-hmm. So we are building that calendar now, and there's many different ways to get involved. There's driving for an outing just to go look at the trees change or the apple picking. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, just, again, it's just it's living life, right? Just doing the kind of normal things. Just
absolutely.
Taking a friend
along. I always say Japanese particularly love to play golf, and it's very expensive in Japan. And so when they come here, that's what they want to do. Yeah. So, I mean, you could take an international student out golfing, and they'd just be thrilled.
Oh, so, and the first scholar I met, she wanted to learn how to bake an apple pie, and that's what we did in my kitchen.
Okay. I think one thing I want to emphasize here, as an international student who have come to accept Christ, is just the importance of us stepping up and say, you know, much as we like these people who have not heard of God to know about God, to accept the gospel, we have to realize that if we don't show enough hospitality to them, how would they know that the message that you want them to know is something that you truly care about? Because at the end of the day, what matters is that, do you really care about them, and do you really care about their salvation? And so I think this, you know, given the season that we're in right now, you know, there are so many opportunities ahead of us, that this take the opportunity and say, Lord, help me to step up. You know, pray for those people and just say that, you know, don't worry so much about your weaknesses, because there are areas that you can say, oh, I'm not good enough in cooking. I'm not good enough in taking people here and there. But remember that God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Because if we are trying to show all these things by our own means and by our own strength, we are not letting God to work in our lives. So I just hope that, you know, everyone here, you know, who are Christians, you know, just really think about how can we serve the kingdom of God.
Yeah. And I know for you soon, you as a result now are doing Bible studies right yourself. So, I mean, it's the multiplying is going on.
Yeah. So, in fact, right now, every Thursday, we have a small group. And some of the people who attend our small groups, they don't even come to church on Sunday. But they are just being so overwhelmed by the hospitality and just the engaging discussion that take place. So we have two people there who have not heard of God. And then we have one Muslim who join in just to hear more about Jesus. And so we're just excited to share the love of God. And hopefully if just from the community and the connections that we make, people will just come to realize that, wow, the gospel of Jesus Christ really is the one that makes sense.
You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we really don't have an option about sharing the gospel. That was some of his last words, go and make disciples. So now, how are you going to do it? That's the question. You can do that with your neighbor, who's American, maybe, and maybe not. You can do that by in your workplace. But another great way to influence the world, the world's future leaders, is to host international students.
And I think as we're talking about the idea of go, it's as you go along, right? This is
in the Greek, it's while going, while you get your hair cut, while you're shopping and you're standing in line and there's somebody behind you from maybe another country, you can talk to them.
Yeah. And just a little bit of you know, willingness to be friendly goes a long way.
And it's fun.
Okay, we're running out of time here for today, but we are so appreciative of the good work that Kathleen and Soon and Diana and Janae are part of. I want to just mention again, if you're in the Twin Cities area and you want to find out more about that, the open house going on this weekend, hcchinese.org is a website there. Otherwise, we're giving out the Oasis website, oasistc.org, as kind of a first step to connect. But maybe check with your church. There's maybe some international ministry going on there. If not, maybe you can start something if you have a heart and a passion for this. And that's not too late to get thinking about Thanksgiving, is it? To put something
not
together?
At all.
All right. So, perfect time. Thank you all for coming today. Blessings to you. And soon we're going to continue to keep praying for you and your family that they'll come to faith as well.
Malaysia.
Yes.
Malaysia's a tough country for Christians.
We will continue to pray for you.
And if you don't have a student yet and you would like to, just call HCC and they'll connect you with one.
Yeah, there's
to have for Thanksgiving.
Plenty
for
of
China
options.
Outreach Ministries is
there's
another one.
Plenty of options. So, all right, Janae, any final word here? Do you want to give the website one more time?
Oasis Twin Cities website is oasistc.org, and you can get on there and tell us about yourself, and we'll contact you. Thank you. God bless. For the kingdom.
For the kingdom. Amen. You've been listening to Connecting Faith. There's more to come here in just a few minutes. We're going to do our regular connect with Tim Muehlhoff as we talk how to have conversations about real issues and share faith in the midst of culture. All that's coming up here in a moment on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and every other Wednesday we have the opportunity to connect with Tim Muehlhoff, professor of communication at Biola University and author of a number of great books on surprisingly, communication. Well, maybe it's not that surprising, I guess, since he's a professor of communication. But we always love to talk with Tim about how we talk about the issues of the day. And one of those issues, Tim, welcome back, first of all. Good to have you on.
Great to be here, Neil. Thank you.
We were just chatting, you know, before the program about what to visit with today, and said you posed a question to your students as it related to one of the, well, it's certainly, I guess, a controversial topic or one that getting a lot of attention has to do with the Star Spangled Banner. Let's talk about what you raised in class.
Yeah, I've done this to my students, undergrad students, and I've also done this at a church setting with people all across the generational divide. So I say, what's most offensive to you to do during the national anthem? And I show three pictures. One picture, it's a group of three people laughing as the anthem's being played. They're in a conversation, and they're obviously laughing about something. Next photo is of a woman on her cell phone as the national anthem is being played. And then the third one is Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco football player who has started a nationwide discussion by taking a knee during the national anthem. I say rank them in order of offensiveness. And, Neil, it just sparks a great conversation. And at the end, I get to offer my advice. And so I say, here's my ranking. Number one on the list is the three people laughing, having a conversation during the national anthem. Second is the woman on the phone, because who knows what the phone call is about. It could be something very serious, some bad news, some unexpected news. And then the least offensive to me is Colin Kaepernick, who purposely uses the national anthem to draw attention to the plight of certain members of our community who he feels are at risk. So it just sparks a great conversation. I would rather have somebody purposefully kneel than without much thought just be talking and laughing during the national anthem. And so, but it sparks great conversation. My students, they rank them pretty similar to how I do. Interesting, the older generation puts Colin Kaepernick first as the most offensive, even though they hate the fact that people are talking and laughing during the anthem. They hate that somebody's on the cell phone, but they would put Colin Kaepernick at the front of being the most offensive.
Well, I guess maybe it brings up the question, what do we, you know, how much significance do we put in our national anthem? I mean, you know, I guess you wonder where that's going in the years ahead. You know, is it simply just a way to start a ball game, and is it even respectful to be doing it there anyway?
Right. And so I remember being at a basketball game. My son was a high school basketball player, and we all stand up to, you know, the national anthem. And my wife is awesome. If you think I'm a fireball, my wife on certain issues, right? So there's two our left are two kids just talking, laughing with their hats on during the national anthem. And my wife just turned and said, hey, guys, come on. It's the national anthem. So I think that's more offensive to me, Neil, because, you know, men and women died for that flag. They absolutely did. And so when Colin Kaepernick decides, listen, I'm going to do something that I know is going to be provocative, and I like the fact that he kneels now. Originally, he just sat. And a Marine actually confronted him and said, I think if you're going to do this, please kneel. I think that'd be more respectful. So I think that was a good compromise. So now he kneels purposefully to draw attention to a separate issue, and that is the plight of African-American men, particularly, who seem to be dying disproportionately to the other population. So I like the fact that I can live with that. I can't live with people just treating our flag as elevator music in the background. To me, that is so much more offensive to the men and the women who have defended this country and died for that flag.
Does it bring up the question about what we use as vehicles of protest? This has become, of course, now it's a protest about conversation about patriotism, which is not what it really started out.
Right.
So, you know, is this the time and place to do that? And I guess maybe that's always been one of the questions about where is it appropriate, what's appropriate for protest?
Well, I actually teach a class on social protest. And so if you're the minority and you don't have a voice, nobody cares about you, right? So you walk out with arms linked at the beginning of a football game, nobody cares about it. Maybe some people notice, you know, what are they doing? But when you have a person who takes a seat during the national anthem, now we have a national discussion. And yes, part of that discussion is about the appropriateness of the action. But it was in the beginning, and I think it's been co-opted since President Trump did co-opt it and urged NFL owners to fire players who did it. But in the beginning, it really was about race. It really was a good conversation about, hey, what has so provoked some of our athletes that they are no longer standing during the national anthem? What exactly is going on to provoke that kind of radical response? And so I think early on, it's the only thing the minority has, because otherwise the majority's like, hey, stand up for the flag, and I promise you I'll get to these issues later on. And I think for people in minority positions who feel like their voice is constantly neglected, I do think they say, no, this is the only way we can get your attention. And so I don't want to, as a person of privilege, I don't want to take away their one avenue to get our attention.
When we have the opportunity to engage in a dialogue, when someone has done something to provoke a response, what's a good way to, I guess, engage in that dialogue? I mean, that, you know, sometimes we don't even know how we feel about it. We just, it just seems wrong or inappropriate.
Well, and I think race, boy, Neil, race has been an issue for a long time in our country. It's one of that, it's like latent conflict in a relationship. It's in the background all the time. And I think the first thing we need to do is to do perspective taking. So rather than shouting down at Colin Kaepernick, I would hope that we could do perspective taking to learn what has caused you to take this very provocative action. Like, okay, what is going on in your community? Help me understand the plight of your community as you take this action that I find disrespectful. But let me not just react with hostility, but let me stop just long enough to say, okay, I'm going to give you 10 good minutes. What is going on with your community that has provoked this particular kind of response? And I don't think, Neil, that the flag should be off limits. I know this is going to get me in trouble with some of your listeners, but I actually take my cue from Jesus on this. So hang on as I make this transition. So Jesus, in his time, there were two things you did not mess with in Jewish culture. It was the Sabbath and it was the temple. Both of those were off limits. Jesus uses both of them to make a point. He works on the Sabbath. Remember, he feeds his disciples and gets blasted by the Pharisees. And then he walks into the temple and turns over the tables in the temple. So two of the greatest symbols of Jewish pride, he was not afraid to use them to make a larger point about the kingdom of God. So I often get asked the question, would Jesus take a knee today? And I would never presume to speak for Jesus, but I would confidently say this: the flag would not be off limits to him. If he felt the need was great enough, significant enough, I think he would absolutely use the national anthem to make his point, because he already did it with two of the greatest symbols of Jewish pride.
Wow. We have always more to think about whenever we when we chat with Tim. You know, I was thinking too, just on the president saying, well, the NFL should fire those who disagree. That, you know, we can, as Christians, could be on the opposite side of that at some point as well. So, you know, we're in a university or something, and, you know, our viewpoint doesn't match up with the culture. And once, you know, we could be on the outs, so it seems like we should be more understanding, at least in that area.
Oh, Neil, I think you make a great point. I do think the next big battle in our country is religious freedom. And I think we need to support people who are exercising their freedoms, because we want a part of that. We want to be in that group that has the freedom to take a knee during the national anthem. Even if we disagree with it, I think we're going to need to protect this freedom, because our rights are and especially in California, our rights are really being taken a look at by Sacramento, our capital.
Mm. Great conversation and food for thought, hopefully. Would Jesus kneel during the national anthem? Do some perspective taking perhaps this week, as you have opportunity to talk about cultural issues, as we do every other Wednesday with Tim Muehlhoff, professor of communication at Biola University, joining us today. Tim, always good to talk with you. Thanks for helping us think through these important areas.
Great. Thank you, Neil.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and invite you to check out the podcasts of the show or other shows online. Go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.